Well, a wonderful evening to you, and really appreciate the message I just heard, and it really hits home. Definitely needed to hear that. What I want to say, first of all, is we love you too. Thankful to be back for a visit. And, well, thanks for giving me the opportunity, because now that I'm getting to share this camp presentation, I can write off this trip as a work trip. So, yeah. We're very thankful to be back for a visit. Extremely, it's such a blessing. If it wasn't for the Lord's call in our life to serve at Morningstar Bible Camp, we'd be back here in a heartbeat. We love it here. We love what you've done. Sorry. It's the reason why Blair and the kids aren't here too, because she'd be we love what you've done for the Canfield family through the Assembly and Emmanuel Bible Camp. And we've loved, and how we've had a good, Blair and I had a good foundation here for the first 7 years of our marriage. And we love how our children are born Islanders. So I want to remind you that, excuse me, we need your prayers and encourage you, we want to encourage you that you're a part of what the Lord is doing in and through us in Kelowna as we serve at Morningstar Bible Camp and at the local church that's in a lot of need. So a brief testimony is I was saved at 20 years old. Very brief. From 17 to 20, I was convicted of that there was a creator, that this creator was a judge, and I was on the wrong side of that judgment, and that I needed a savior. So at the age of 20, I believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he rose from the dead, and that really flipped my life right side up. And I started going to a local church and feel like I had a good, solid foundation with Bible studies as soon as I started believing in the Lord. At 23, I was pastored to go up to Morningstar Bible Camp, fly fishing camp. And this is a brother that is really influential in my life. His name is Ron Pizerski, and he went out of his way to pick me up and went out of his way to drop me off. I only had one or 2 days available to go up to the camp. It was a week-long camp, so he went out of his way to make sure that I had some experience. So he took me up to Morningstar Fly Fishing Camp at 23, and around the campfire that morning, this is a verse that really changed my life up at Morningstar. It was the verse in 1 Peter chapter 4. It says, for we have spent enough of our past lifetime doing the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. So I remember at the campfire just thinking, this is for me. Yeah, I'm a Christian and still living, you know, in sin. So that was a real turning point in my life. Like, I had enough of that in my past life. Why am I continuing on? And so that was a real pivotal point in my Christian life. And so I started going to that fly fishing camp every year. And actually, at the beginning, I thought I was just a camper. You know, in my mid-20s, 23, it was like a boys fly fishing camp. I didn't know anything about camp at all. Like, they invited me up, and I was just a camper. They put me in a cabin, and I was just, like, on the same level as, like, the kids. Like, But looking back, I'm wondering if they thought, like, if I was a cabin leader or something. So that's how things rolled. I started getting into personal evangelism. There's a brother that took me out that pastored me and encouraged me to go out street evangelism and passing tracts out. And that led the church, Kelowna Bible Chapel, that's my home church now. They've committed us to the work at Morningstar. So that encouraged them. You know, it was in my early to mid-20s, you know, going out and evangelizing. It was really encouraging. And I was fellowshipping there. There was mostly older people in the meeting. So I was real, I was real encouragement to them. And so they would want to encourage me. And they really, you know, despite, they kept on loving me. You know, Bob McLaren, like, poured out his love. And remember one time they asked me to share my testimony. And I remember I just didn't show up. I was just nervous. I was like, wasn't ready for it. I just went AWOL. And they were waiting for me, and I just didn't show. And they didn't even mention anything to me about it. They just poured on love. And they encouraged me to go to Cross Canada Cruisers. And they took out any kind of excuse that I had. And I don't know if you remember Cross Canada Cruisers, but the evangelism with the classic cars. And that was an opportunity that they encouraged me to do. And they, again, I had a lot of excuses, but they said, we're going to take care of everything. And I felt peace from the Lord about going as well. And then I called Grant up one day. He was doing the recruiting for that. And I said, I'm coming. I got peace from the Lord about coming. And Grant was like, well, okay, he was supposed to like approve who was going to be there. But, you know, I just called up and said, I'm on my way. The Lord told me I should come, so I'm coming. So when I came to PEI in 2008, it was my first time here, and that was at Grant Shelley's, the training for the Cross Canada Cruisers. That's where I met Blair. She signed up to make tacos for us, and basically the rest is history. As soon as the day after Cross Canada Cruisers was over, we started dating, and about a year later, we were married here, and then we had four children. So needless to say, very thankful again for the foundation we had here. It was Bob McLaren's advice that really encouraged me to start our marriage out here. We originally were going to, I was going to take Blair out right away. But, and then I settled down here and didn't have any plans to actually go back. But it seemed to me in 2016 that it was a very clear call, like, this is what the Lord has for you. There was circumstances and the Word of God and changed hearts that through those three things that we ended up back at Morningstar Bible Camp. There was a need for a managing director for many years before I said that I'd be willing to do it with the support of my father-in-law. So what I want to do is I want to kind of share with you a brief camp report. Kind of what we're doing there and kind of what the Lord has been doing. It's great to be a part of what God is doing there. And I want to encourage you and your work here at the Emmanuel Bible Camp. Maybe there's something that there would be something that would be a good idea. I'm not saying that there's lots of things about Emmanuel, trust me, that I really appreciate. And I'm going to take home some ideas as well. So just want to encourage you, and perhaps you'd send someone on a mission trip to help us for a short time, or maybe you'd like to come and welcome us. Come and visit us, and I will welcome you. We'll give you, if you come to Kelowna and visit us, we will roll out the red carpet. Okay, we will give you a vehicle if you fly out, and we will give you a place to stay, even if you want to stay in different places in BC. We know where the embassies are, where you can stay. Scripture to set the stage for the camp report is 2 Timothy chapter 2. And this is something I do in the off season. You wonder what I do. And the summer's busy, in the off-season, I try and visit as many churches in Western Canada as I can, and I kind of force my way in, invite part of the camp, so some churches are really obligated to have me in to speak. And so I share this camp report with the churches, trying to encourage people to come and help us out and serve with us. So 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." That's a real need, isn't it, to be strong in his grace. It says, "And the things you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and the Lord may the Lord give you understanding in all things." We have the soldier that sacrifices, and you know, it's a good message we heard just a few minutes ago about sacrificing and giving up your life of ease and enduring hardship. You know, as Christians, we're called to be soldiers, and the soldier sacrifices. The athlete is disciplined, and you know how we need discipline in the Christian life. The Christian is to be like the athlete and to be disciplined. And the hardworking farmer is hardworking. So sacrifice, discipline, and hard work. And this is kind of like the theme of the summer. I say don't come to Morningstar for fun. If you want to have fun, there's lots of other camps to have fun at. But you come to Morningstar for sacrifice, discipline, and hard work. And if you notice, there's actually a reward in all that. The soldier pleases him, the athlete gets the crown, and the farmer partakes of the crops. So it's not like it's not rewarding. It's definitely rewarding, but we definitely want to have a theme of discipleship and serious Christian living as our focus. Hang on a sec here. We're going to the point here for moving this somewhere. Oh, here we go. Is that? What are we doing there? Is it the side? Okay, sorry. So there's a little promo video. I'm going to skip that for time. The overview of the presentation, just talk about the camp's mission and vision. This has been really helpful to establish a mission and vision for the camp, some of the strategies that we use. Campers, of course, number one, staff. We need staff to have campers. And talk about a little bit what we're doing next summer and our discipleship training program, upcoming camps, and our center shot. Oops. This is our mission. In a Christ-centered, wholesome, safe, and fun-filled Christian camping environment, we will present the gospel of Jesus Christ to children, teens, and adults. And we'll encourage Christian growth through Bible teaching, personal example, and service. So it's really a part of the Great Commission is what our focus is. And so everything that we do, we try and have in line with our mission and vision. And our vision is to be a premier resource for Christian leadership development in Western Canada. You know, just kind of rattle that off. But so that's what we're about, is preaching the gospel and encouraging Christian growth. So when we have staff meetings, I say this is why we do what we do. This is why we have, like, the dress code, the curfew, because that's why we're here. We're here to preach the gospel. We're here for Christian growth. If you're not here for that reason, the door is right there. And so that's kind of serious. And so the vision, too, is to be a premier resource for Christian leadership development. So that means, like, what does that mean? It means, like, if you're living in Western Canada, where would you go for top Christian training? Like, where would you send your kids or grandkids for the best Christian training in Eastern Canada? And there's got to be something that comes to mind. What's the best thing? So our vision is for Western Canada, that Morningstar Bible Camp, that would be the first thing that people would think of for humility training, Christian leadership training, Bible teaching. Like, want Morningstar to be a premier resource. So it's not, we focus, instead of focusing just on, like, gospel to the campers all the time, it's not, yes, we do that, but as a more as a fruit of our discipleship work. We make disciples, and the disciples, they preach the gospel. It goes hand in hand, but our focus is more now on staff and discipleship. I wonder why in 65 years ago, the assemblies in Okanagan Valley, where we are, beautiful, 65 years ago when the camp was started, Emmanuel has a very similar history, the churches are being planted all up and down the valley. And why is it 65 years later that the churches are closing? So I mean, we're trying to serve at the camp in an atmosphere where the churches that are supporting and own the camp are shutting down. And I'm wondering why, what went wrong? And my suspicion is that we dropped the ball on discipleship and accountability with one another. So I got to keep moving here. Some of the strategies that we do is to serve the assemblies and local churches. So mission and vision, and then how we accomplish the mission and vision. So these are some of the strategies that we use. We want to serve the assemblies and local churches. We don't want to have a successful, thriving, booming camp where everything's going well, where Christians are being trained, while the local churches are shutting down. If we're going down with the local churches, if the local churches shut down, we're shutting down. We're not going to have a successful camp and have the, no. We're there to serve the local churches, and Christ is building his church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail. He's working. He's building his church. That's what we want to be involved with. And we want to just serve and be a servant to the church. A prayer, one of our strategies, is just trying to be dependent on the Lord. We're reminded without him, we can do nothing. So just pray, seek the Lord. You think I have any idea what I'm doing? You're right. Okay? Pray. Really weak and dependent on him. Please pray for us. Mission-minded. So you're coming not to be served, but to serve. That kind of an atmosphere of the missionary mindset. And training. You want to try and have the best training. As far as Christian camping goes, there's lots of training that we need to do to kind of meet standard. So we want to have well-trained staff. And of course, 100% volunteers. Even our so-called full-time staff, everybody is volunteer, trusting the Lord. And families. We know the family is under attack. And so we want to, as far as a strategy goes and making decisions, if anything wants, we want to try and include families, as families are very important. So we never want to have like a program where it's like the family is not welcome, and nothing separate. We want the whole family. All these strategies are just helpful as same with mission and vision, establishing that, ministry strategies, just because things come along. And a lot of things come along, and decisions need to be made. So these things really help us kind of keep focused on what we're doing. As far as camps go, summer camps, of course, is our peak season. And Bulo Lake Camp, which is a fly fishing wilderness camp where there's no cell reception. Year-round camp, so nothing gets shut down. Everything gets stayed open, okay? It's like there's people there all the time coming and going. Retreats and conferences, there's guest groups, churches. Lately I've been calling, beginning call, if you want to rent the camp, I say, you know what? Our mission is preaching the gospel, encouraging Christian growth. So does your, like, you want to use the camp? We got to somehow figure out how we can do this with your group. So it just really eliminates a lot of extra stuff that we could be doing. We want to just focus, we're not worried about money. We trust in the Lord. We're focusing on how can we further our mission and vision through everything that we do, even guest groups. That's been kind of a real help. far as camp kind of missionaries go, I'm the managing director. I'm supposed to oversee everything. I don't know how anyone can do this task. It's basically like you giving the entire responsibility for a manual to one couple. That was like the idea, because the board was getting burned out. Okay, so instead of the board doing the work, you know, get one person on site. Obviously, I can't fix anything. I break stuff. I'm not there to be a handyman. And I refuse to do it, actually. But I did change a plug once, so. Managing director. And so I'm not saying this is the best way to run the camp. And to be honest, like, I don't know if this is working. Like, I'm thinking of how I can form more of a leadership team as opposed to being one responsible, because I don't think that this is the best model, but it is what it is, and we're trying to work within the framework that we have. So Blair has been doing the registration and a lot of other things in helping me, and her workload is tremendous, and it's one of the reasons why we're here, just to get away and kind of reassess our lives. And I'm hopefully get a, you know, come a, you know, Dwight talked about coming outside yourself and looking at your life and assessing how things are going. And so somehow I got to figure out a way to help Blair more. We thought about getting a new registrar, which is why it's blank. I don't know if that's the answer, I think that would help with some of the work. She obviously is a great benefit. I thought maybe about moving off-site and kind of sheltering her to what happens at camp, but as you know, she's a huge help, and I can't really do without her. We're a real team, so I don't really know how that's all going to pan out. But Alex Anjar, she's a blessing. She's the same age as Blair, and those two are like peas in the pod, and she's secretary. She's looking after her dog, Moses, and takes all our children for the weekend when we want to go away. So that's the kind of person she is. She does all the administrative stuff. There's Cody Lees. These are people that have really come alongside, and like they're making the camp their top priority of their lives. Even this summer, Cody, he's trusting the Lord. I'm the only one that's at camp that's like a commended worker. And so because of that, I get like money deposited in my bank. But none of these other people do. Like, I don't know how they're doing it. It's not like without, I can try and get them commended and maybe somehow get, I don't know how that all works, but it's like, it's amazing how the Lord has brought people to help serve. And Cody, like, he's an arborist in the off season, has his job, but he takes his summers off. And same with Tim down here. He does our discipleship training program and grounds work. His summers are completely devoted to camp, and in the off season, he still has his mind focused on camp, but though he has to make a living. And so that's the kind of guys that are surrounded, I'm surrounded with, and you know, it's a huge blessing. There's a lady doing the kitchen, Marilyn, projects and maintenance. And then Trevor Campstra is a missionary in Mexico, but he's been coming for the summer. For projects and maintenance, that's blank because since I've been there, there really hasn't been anyone to like take the bull by the horns and take the lead with projects and maintenance. There's been a handyman there, who's a really good brother, but he doesn't take the lead. And he's pretty good mechanic, so, and just helpful, but don't have anybody to like really spearhead the projects and maintenance. And Grant, my father, he obviously did tons of work, and he's been a workhorse when he's there, but he's not like the lead horse. If you could pray for him to come and be the lead horse at camp, that would be like a huge answer to prayer. And there's a few young guys at another local assembly in our area that would love that. So, we'll just breeze through some of these highlights. So we had 12 camps in 9 weeks, 2 staff training weeks, 2 family camps, 5 week-long day camps, 3 Bulo Lake camps. There's 130 volunteers, served over 500 campers, and 90 hours of discipleship training for the staff. You know, to be honest, I don't think this is anything short of miraculous to pull this off with everyone out there. So for this year, it's kind of next year we're planning kind of something similar, which is two sessions. So we have like a July session and an August session. So for the discipleship training program, if you're interested, we can talk later. I kind of have to try and wrap things up. But our discipleship training program is in two sessions, and so it's a 4-week or a 3-week session. And it's people 15 years old or over that commit to like the 4 or 3 weeks. And so they either come for July or August. And those are like our crew that have our heart and that serve with us throughout the summer. There'd be summer staff that would stay for the whole time, and then there'd be the discipleship, they'd be part of the discipleship training program. And then there's weekly staff that come and go. It operates very similar. We try and get weekly directors that bring their own kind of weekly staff as well. And so we have our crew that would serve the weekly directors. It's never been easier to be a weekly director because we have a discipleship training program and we're all there like to serve them. Supposed to be. That's how it's supposed to run. So that's how it breaks down. And with COVID, we had we just kept on going. We just renamed everything. And we switched to day camps, which I heard that you guys did here too, which is really encouraging. And then we had a discipleship program with our day camp, so serve the kids during the day. And then we had like real intentional discipleship time, Bible study in the evening, fireside in the evening, you know, curfew checks. So it wasn't just a day camp. People say, oh, you just did day camps? Like we had, it was basically like a teens camp at night. And so we really had between Tim, Cody, and I, we really led the discipleship program, and we have a summer theme every summer, so every 5 years or so, hopefully to cycle through. So last year we did apologetics and evangelism. We did a Bible survey series one summer. We went through the disciples manual another summer. We try and divide up the speaking and teaching times. So it's a real, that what the Lord's doing through that has just been amazing. A real highlight of what the Lord's doing. So this is what we do, is we just try and go around and I try and recruit the people to go into the discipleship program, looking for 12 for each session. And then every week we need 20 weekly staff to serve alongside that. We ask that the weekly staff don't take away from the discipleship training program. Hopefully the weekly staff would be involved and be mentors to the discipleship training program, but if they're not like super involved, because that's not what they've committed to, they just want to serve for a week, we just ask that they, at least, very least, they don't take away from it, if you kind of get what I mean. There's shoulder season events, there's a women's ladies retreat in April, week of prayer, satellite location, there's a major spring conference in May, and we have a Digging Deeper men's conference this year. We have Mike Atwood, Warren Henderson, Harold Summers, and Mercer Armstrong speaking at the Digging Deeper. That's for next year. So we're really looking forward to that next September. There's other opportunities. A lot, you know, the potential for year-round is, but I can't do it all, so we just ask that. Pray for laborers. That's not really concerning. It's just the dates that we've planned out for next year. There's a project page. So if you go like on the Morningstar Bible Camp website and look under the projects, it says get involved, and there's a little video on there, and I'll take you basically on a tour of the camp and what we're doing in terms of the projects, what we try and do. And center shot, is that what it says? Center shot is our archery program. This is something really, not that you need more programs here, but if you ever wanted to start an archery club, archery league, you could easily do that in the basement. And that's basically like if you want to do archery in a school, you go do the National Archery in the Schools program. And that's the 11 steps to archery success that you'll learn in that. It's an 8-week course. But Center Shot is the Christian version of that. And so we still go through the 11 steps of archery success, but we use the archery to point, to share the gospel. And like making Christ the target of your lives. And archery is like a biblical sport. So we do Bible studies and, yeah, reach out in the community. By the way, I'm not worried about what can you do. Send me off to BC tomorrow. We're leaving tomorrow at 5 in the morning. So not worried about going too late, because the worst you could do is try and ship me off the island, right? But I'm done, just about done. But thank you for your patience. Last thing is communication. If you want to stay in touch with us, this is one of the hardest parts. Actually, I really like you to be involved, not to forget about us. We really need your prayers. Actually, I'm not even at that part of the presentation, but we need your prayers. And we really want to feel like that, to have your support. Like, and I'm not talking of what you think I'm talking about, okay? This is like if prayer actually changes things in heavenly realm and sends angels to minister, that's what I'm talking about. And you guys mean a lot to us. So please pray for us. If you want to be in more communication, we have a quarterly newsletter I send out, plus monthly bulletin inserts and toolbox notes. Toolbox notes are our monthly staff meeting, like our operational staff. Our team get together at the beginning of the month and talk about the plans for the month. So those go out, notes, I guess I send those out. It's more detailed than like a general quarterly newsletter. And the social media I use is Telegram, Morningstar Bible Camp on Telegram. So that's it for the presentation. And just make sure I cover everything. Yeah, Blair's homeschooling. There's a lot of opportunity there. And I'm really thankful that she's doing that. And that's a huge job that she's doing there. So she, pray for her, because she does that, helps me. Plus, she has a huge responsibility to camp. Like, if you would hear what she does, you'd definitely be praying for her. Pray for someone that's able to maybe lighten her load. And, you know, I'm very thankful, again, to introduce our children to PEI and the saints here. It's definitely been a highlight. And they send their love, and they love you guys too. And they hope to be back sooner than 7 years. Yeah, and finally, again, just a reminder to pray for us. It's been 7 years, so that reminder of feeling like giving up, I know what that feels like. I would love for the Lord to maybe provide something else for me, but something about sticking with it, you know. And but then again, I got to think of the family and how it all works in with the family and our children and Blair. And so I definitely need something outside of myself to empower the work for us to carry on. And I guess it's a tough place to be, but that's, you know, that's where else I wouldn't want it any other way, I guess, either, to have to be completely dependent on God. And you know, the visit here hasn't disappointed. And just again, thankful to be here. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the saints here, for their love, their obvious love for you and their love for one another. And I just pray that they would increase more and more in that area. And I just pray you keep them strong, protect them, and thankful for them. And I just pray, your blessing on each one in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you. Apologize for going over a bit.
Why don't we pray for you while you're still here? Why don't we get maybe three brothers?